makes a bird. Join me as we continue in worship with our spoken call to worship. It's in the bulletin as well as on the screen. What is the fast that our God chooses?
To loose the bonds of injustice, to bring the homeless poor into our houses, to cover the naked, to let the oppressed go free, and to share our bread with the hungry.
When you do these things, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Let us stand as we sing the hymn of praise, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let the congregation be seated. Today it is our privilege on this Transfiguration Sunday to share in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. I always like to remind us that this is not a United Methodist table, it is the Lord's table. And everyone, regardless of denomination, is certainly invited to receive the sacrament. We will be kneeling at the rail, and the attendants will bring you the sacrament as you kneel. Be sure to bring your offering as you come and leave your offering there in the railing at the in behind that little slot, so to speak, where you place your cups. And I also want to remind you that we receive life everlasting from God. And as we give back to God through our offering, this is our way of saying, thanks, God. Use this. Use this money, your tithe, our offering, to further your work in this realm. So now, will you receive the invitation to the Lord's table? Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law.
We have
rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now let us be continued in prayer. The prayers of the people. These are our corporate prayers, concluded by the singing, everyone together, of the Lord's Prayer. Shall we continue to pray? Gracious Lord, once again this Sunday, we, your people here at Rockwood United Methodist Church, have chosen to come and to worship you in this lovely sanctuary. We come this day expecting to hear your good news. This day we are excited and pleased to
celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion with each other and with your spiritual presence. This day, we are excited, many of us, about one of the greatest sporting events that our country knows, the Super Bowl. So much hype, O Lord, and so much buildup has gone into this athletic event. And we just pray, O Lord, not so much to pick a team, although we could probably, but we also simply want to ask you that the game be played and played well without persons being hurt and attitudes also to remain positive. Grant, O Lord, in the celebration of this event, that we can also see how excited people are, many persons. And let us recognize that when we are excited about you and about your church, things also happen in a splendid way. For excitement, enthusiasm, joy of doing, that is part of our human makeup. So please help us as we work through the many temptations, the many issues that would hold us back. Please help us to see glory in your midst in this world. We confess, O Lord, that oftentimes we are so covered up with this world's concerns that we simply do not have time for you. And we confess that right here and right now. We keep ourselves busy, perhaps, to anesthetize ourselves from issues we ought to be facing. And we work ourselves into fatigue, so much so we simply fall asleep. We haven't the time for you. We haven't the time to take our issues to you in prayer. And Lord, you know, and we know, we pay the price. So please help us with this world's concerns that we can more so be concerned with eternity. Now there are specific things we lift to your attention, O Lord. We pray for this church. We pray for the members who could come but do not. We pray for the members that come, for the enthusiasm that we see rising with different events that are planned, for the joy of our salvation that we share each time we come together. Lord, we pray for the sick. We pray for those who are bereaved. We pray for those who are at the point of death, waiting to come and join the heavenly cloud of all kinds of the faithful. We pray for those who have issues with their health that will be attended to soon. And we ask your special blessings upon the physicians and those who will be helping sort out matters of health. Continue to show your compassion on those who have questionable futures because of illness, because of accident, because of tragedy in relationships. Please touch all of us and lift us up so that we can lift high the cross of Christ. All these things we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray together. Yeah. Now I invite all the boys and girls to come forward. Terry has our children's address today. Thank you, Terry.
Morning. Once again, we're glad to have you with us. All of you. Josh, it's good to see you back. Today's kind of a big day, like the pastor's already talked about. What's going to happen tonight? Big football fans. The Super Bowl. That's right, the Super Bowl. Who are you for? You're for the Panthers? The Broncos? You don't care, do you, Josie? No. We kind of like Peyton, right? Even if we are some other team fans, we do like Peyton, don't we? Today's kind of a different kind of Super Bowl, and I need you to come right here. No, you sit here and hold this. Okay, I'll get it for you in a minute. Here, hold this. All right, today, after church today, we're having a different kind of Super Bowl, and it's called the Super Bowl of Caring. Now, the Super Bowl of Caring is pretty special because, first of all, it's all about taking care of people, feeding people who don't have anything to eat. Did you know that there were some people who didn't have anything to eat? There are lots of people. So we want to try to change that because that's what Jesus asked us to do, isn't it? And second of all, did you know that Super Bowl of Caring was started by young people like you all? Maybe a little bit older, but young people, not us old people. But young people. What is this right here? That's a dollar. And then this is a jar of peanut butter. Now, Abel could live off of peanut butter. I don't know about the rest of you. But do you think that this dollar is going to buy a whole lot of food? Won't buy very much, will it, at all? But now, if everybody in here gave me a dollar, what would that do? You think that would buy a lot of food? Hey, it'd get to be a good start, wouldn't it? Well, what if we had everybody all over this Rockwood give us a dollar? That'd buy a lot, wouldn't it? Well, what if we did everybody all over Tennessee? Wow, we're getting up there, aren't we? Well, what if we even ask Oklahoma to help us out? You think that would be good, too? Yeah, I think so. Well, the Super Bowl of Caring is a great event, and last year, we raised over $10 million worth of food and money for people. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? I don't know. One of the songs that I learned when I was growing up is a song called People to People. And in People to People, one of the lines says, "How can you tell a hungry man about the bread of life?" And that means that when somebody is so hungry that that's all they're focusing on, they're not going to listen to anything that we say about Jesus. So one of the things that we need to do is to help feed them, fill those stomachs up, so maybe then they can know that Jesus truly loves them. So what I need you to do is I need you to look out there at all those people, and we're going to ask them to help us today raise lots of money, either by staying to eat or just putting a little bit of extra money. So all I need you to do is to look out there and say, put those pretty eyes out and say, please, can you do that? 1, 2, 3, please. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to thank you for the fact that we have food to eat, Lord. We thank you that when we go to our table, we go to our refrigerator, we go to our cabinets, there's food. We don't have to go hungry. But Lord, we do want to remember that there are people out there who don't have anything to eat. They go from day to day not knowing whether they're going to make it because they don't have the food that they need. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to remember that you told us that is part of our jobs as your followers, is to take care of each other. Be with us, Lord, and help us to always work for you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Terry. Wonderful to see the children. They're all full of energy, aren't they? And just think, we used to have that kind of energy too, back when. It's been a day or two, hadn't it? The scripture today is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. So hear the word of the Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Amen. And here ends this reading of God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And so with the story of the Transfiguration, we conclude a church season, the one known as the Epiphany. Epiphany is the manifestation of the Christ. And what better scripture to be chosen than this one, a Transfiguration. Now, it is a mysterious chapter. Peter, in his second letter, even refers to it and quotes what he heard God say, "This is my son, my chosen, the beloved. Listen to him." That's always been a source of interest for scholars. There are many ways to look at this. Does this scripture belong here or in the resurrection narratives? Because obviously things are changing. A different dimension is moving across the vision of those three disciples, Peter, James, and John. They're being moved from one area to another. It's significant they're on top of a mountain because that gets them away from the low country where everybody else lives. We need to keep that in mind. Every now and then we need to get away. We need to get away and pray. So some scholars think, well, it doesn't really belong here. It ought to be after his crucifixion and something told there about the Transfiguration. Other scholars, they'll go into, how did he know it was Moses? How did they know it was Moses? How did they know it was Elijah? I've always, and I think I've told you jokingly, said, well, they had name tags, Moses and Elijah. Who knows how they knew? But it was very obvious. Moses is the great lawgiver. Elijah is the prototypical prophet. So the lawgiver and the prophet and the Son of God are conversing in front of Peter, James, and John. Furthermore, our Lord's face is transformed. Our Lord's clothing is dazzling. And good gracious alive, these three disciples, they hardly know what to do. They hardly know what to say. But good old Simon Peter, I think it's good that we're here so we can build three tents or dwelling places. It's good, Sal. Let us get started. It apparently was such a wonderful occasion for these three. They wanted to stay here. They wanted to stay here up on the mountain. But Jesus didn't even honor Peter's question with an answer. So there are all kinds of ways, many, many scholars want to say, what does he mean by his departure? Moses departed a certain way. Elijah really didn't die. He just was taken up into heaven. Moses went up on top of the mountain and saw the promised land, and then he died. I believe he was 120. So what's going on? Why are they needing to talk to Jesus about his departure? All this remains a mystery, and you have literally books and books and books written about the Transfiguration. But as for me, I like to look at the scriptures as a phenomenon. Hence, looking at a phenomenological approach instead of a scholarly delving down into the meaning of the words, I just want to look at what the gospel writer says is happening. Because I think what we have here is a glimpse of the resurrection, and as far as we're concerned, a glimpse of heaven. How often it is that we wonder when we lose our loved ones or when we face death, what's going to happen to me now? And this and other passages give us a tremendous insight about what we have to look forward to. And in using a phenomenological approach, we're seeing a phenomenon that we then can apply to ourselves, to those who we love, to those who have died and are with God now. So let's look at it in a different way. First of all, what's he doing? What is Jesus doing? He is going on top of a mountain to pray. Now, this is critically important that we pray. How often it is I've challenged you, do you and I pray enough? What is our system of prayer? One of the few things God and the Christ demand of us as followers is that we pray. We also know that Jesus prayed on a very regular basis, not only on top of the mountain, but he withdrew from everyone to pray. The importance of prayer and getting the insight as to where we're going when we die, what heaven will be like, what the resurrection was like, we have got to be on that level of reality where we are in tune with God, rather than thinking God's always going to be in tune with us. Sometimes we get the idea, well, God, I'm here, come and bless me. God, I'm in trouble, come and get me out of trouble. Don't work that way, although he will bless us, and he will get us out of trouble. If we're not so deeply in trouble, our options are so small and so few. But prayer keeps us in touch with how God wants us to see where God is and where God is working. So prayer, we see that. That's paramount. That's one-on-one. That's heaven one-on-one, is to pray and to pray efficiently without ceasing, according to St. Paul, but do so in such a fruitful way that we become closer to God and he sees that we're faithful and he draws closer to us. Secondly, we see that there's transformation in the face of Jesus. His clothes also are dazzling white. Wow. Now, from time to time, we see a transformation in our own face. When's the last time you were uproariously blessed and happy? And you knew, surely this is none other than the house of God. Or surely the Lord is in this place. We change when we recognize we are standing in the presence of God. We really do. We smile with a certain knowledge that people wonder. People may wonder what in the world we're up to. They're smiling all the time. You know what I'm saying? But the smile comes across our face. We're joyful. Why? Because we've been touched and we've touched the Lord. We did so through prayer. We did so by answering his call for us. Now, that's something that we really must look at carefully. Because if we stay so busy, we become numb to the privilege and responsibility of prayer, we miss out on seeing when the Lord is working and how we can celebrate with God blessing us, how we can have just a little piece of heaven right here on earth. Oh, my friends, our culture is devastating us as far as following Jesus, as far as having wonderful relationships with our spouses, with our family members, with church members. We stay so busy, we haven't time. And I'm the world's worst, I know. I've got these diaries in here that alert me when I'm supposed to be at a certain place, when I'm supposed to make a telephone call, etc. And so we fractionate our day because that's the American way, right? We fill ourselves with things to do sometimes so we won't have to think about the hard questions. Other times because we feel like we don't want to miss out on anything. So we've got to grab everything while we can. But it's detrimental to our relationship with God. And we may not see the glistening of the face in others as well as in our own face. So prayer, a sequestered place, constancy in prayer to be lifted up to stand in the presence of God himself. Now we must add something else to our phenomenon. Interesting. There are two people that appear with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Now think about this a minute. Moses and Elijah are not contemporaries. There are centuries that separate them in their earthly life. I think this is remarkable. First of all, because God can conjure them up from their sleep in death. Because they're with God. And it's like as if to say, Moses, I need for you to go down and appear with my boy, Jesus. Moses says, all right, I'll be right there. And Elijah, you go with him. So here they are, they are at peace, they're resting and praising God when it's time and listening to God's request. That is critical for us to remember. How many of the saints have already passed from this realm into the world to come? I walk through that door and I see that plaque upon people who have given and also given in honor. And I know of people you've mentioned that are no longer here. But yet their names are on the plaque. They have contributed to this church. And then outside over here, there's the board with people's names on it. And you can look around, those of you who've been here for a long time, and you can remember in the different pews who sat here, who sat where, and so on and so on. You know that. Well, guess what? According to this scripture, they're in heaven with God. God knows them. Furthermore, they are known as the same people they were when they lived here. We see this again with Jesus and Mary Magdalene's conversation on Easter morning. "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where he is so that I can take him." Mary, and she recognizes him. "But Jesus has died. He's on his way to God." Rabboni, she recognizes him as the same person he was before the crucifixion. So the next thing I want us to remember is we will see each other in heaven. Now, we won't have physical body. We know what happens to that upon death. But we will have a spiritual body. How do we know people now? Have you changed as you become older? I don't want to go too far in that direction, but I think all of us have got pictures. And there's nothing like a grandson that'll say, "Who is that?" "Well, that's your granddaddy." "Really? You're so thin." "You mean I've changed, grandson? But I'm the same person." And you get my drift. In this realm, we age. In this realm, we stay the same persons, but we also change. In the next realm, we're still the same persons, but we will have spiritual bodies. That's promised in a number of places. So what do we look for? In the next life, what do we look for if we don't have the physical items which we can recognize? Guess what? We look for how we love. Love is eternal. If we are well acquainted through prayer with love and doing what God wants us to do, we recognize each other through the presence of love. Now let's think a minute. Think about people whom we have lost. I've lost both parents. I can think about them, and I can hear them virtually talk to me because of my memory. They're with me in my memory. And they're with God, because God knows, and they have related through love. Now, one of these days, it won't be Moses. It won't be Elijah. But it will likely be my dad. I can almost hear when it's my time to move from this realm to the world to come. Dad's name was Fort. "Fort, it's time to get up and bring Bill home." And I can easily see, through loving relationship that Dad and I had, "Hello there, Bill. Time to come home." You see, death is a cloud. We don't know about death. We've never died. But notice what it says in the scripture. As all of this was going on, there came a cloud. And then a voice. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And this is the most important thing we will need to hear. Listen to him. We have the great lawgiver. We can obey this, 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 and this, but that does not get us to heaven. We will disobey eventually and need to repent. Then we have the great prophet, Elijah. Elijah is always telling people, repent, repent, repent. He's also healing people. They're conversing with Jesus. But God said, who you need to pick is Jesus. You listen to him. And now we've gone full circle. Want a glimpse of heaven? Want a glimpse of the resurrection? Pray in a sequestered place. Listen in prayer for Jesus' voice. He will tell you what to do for the day. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Folks, with what the life in this world places upon us, we cannot make it. The cloud will come not from God, but the cloud of our confused minds will come across us, and we will become so preoccupied with what we have for ourselves to do, plus what has been foisted upon us by simply life itself. If we don't turn to God in prayer, we will be ground down and lost. And that, I suggest, is what has happened to our culture. We've lost sight of heaven. We've lost sight of heaven because we're trying to make heaven on earth. We're trying to build our dwelling for God to live in under our specifications instead of God's. It's always trouble when we try to be God. So what we do is pray. Look for those occasions when our faces are dazzling and our situations in life, we go, whoa, wow. That's a glimpse of heaven. When love is so overwhelming that we say, thanks, God. I'm so glad I got to see that. Thanks for including me. And then staying close in prayer, recognizing that Moses and Elijah are part of the mix. That's part of our tradition, but we are to listen to Jesus. And when we listen to the Christ, he will show us the way to go home. Our glimpses of heaven are present through prayer, through Christ-like living, through listening, and through taking things to the Lord in prayer and letting the Spirit of God live through us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Before we get started with the liturgy, I wanted to show you something. These are brand new. They are small communion kits. And there are a number of us today, three, hence we have three of these, who will be taking the communion consecrated on the table behind me to our shut-ins, nine persons. We'll be having the sacrament today at some point. So this is another opportunity that we have to minister to visit to, and to have them be a part of our celebration through the sacrament of Holy Communion. Already the elements are in here, and they'll be consecrated as we consecrate the other elements. We certainly thank our communion stewards for looking after this aspect of our sacrament. Now, we'll have the Great Thanksgiving. It's page 13 in our hymnal, but also on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I would invite those who are in the service and also assisting with the communion, would you come at this time? This is the body of our Lord. The body of our Lord. The body of our Lord. This is the body of our Lord. Body of our Lord. The body of our Lord. And this is the blood of our Lord. Will you come down the center aisle, receive the communion as you kneel, then back through the outer aisles.
be those who would like to have the elements brought to you where you're sitting, if you would lift the hand, we would be glad to bring you the elements. Our hymn of dedication is, Christ is the world's light. There may be those who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. I know that Linda wishes to come and kneel at the altar. She has major surgery tomorrow, and she really would like to see if you would stand with her as she prays. So Linda, if you would, as we sing, your church people will be there to remember you in prayer. 7:30 in the morning, she checks into Park West. We'll be keeping you in our prayers, just as we're going to support you now through prayers. We'll stand as we sing, Christ is the world's light. Our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with the privilege of prayer. You also have blessed us with the promise to be with us on every occasion of life. Now your servants, Linda and Tommy, and their extended family undergo a crisis in Linda's health this week. We have known about it for some time. But now, O Lord, tomorrow morning, she goes to the surgeon for the assistance that this requires. So we ask your special blessings upon her especially, and also with Tommy and those of us who will be remembering. Let her know that her church is praying with her at this hour and will continue to do so. Give all of us the grace for the living of this time. Bless her. May everything be just fine. And in your time, restore her health to her, we beseech. We beseech you, O Lord. Now keep us faithful, faithful in our prayers. And Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Thank you for bringing us together today. And as we go to the fellowship hall, we ask you to bless the food that's prepared and ready for us to eat. And may we enjoy this time of food and fellowship as well. People of God, go in peace. Amen. Now, before you leave, I want Linda to stand up and look around so she'll know who's here. Nobody stood with you, dear. Not